FM 88.9, my favorite Buffalo Springfield song, On the Way Home, 1968 is the year, and I am not Mike Young, it's Uncle Bill with you. What a day we have today, folks. Just when you thought it was safe, not only do you have Uncle Bill, but you have a miserable day outside and a great day to stay inside and hang out with us and our departure from the norm as we chat with the world-famous buzzard architect, John Gorman. John, hello.
Good afternoon.
Oh, my goodness, it's working.
It's working.
See, I don't normally play with this stuff, and rarely do I actually become an on-air presence, and lo and behold, you push the button, and there's John Gorman. It's magic. Well,
No, it's not.
Well, John wrote a great book, and we're going to give a couple of those books away this afternoon. That'll be fun. By the way, John, we gave a couple away earlier today, and the phones went crazy.
That's great to hear.
It was unbelievable. So we're gonna talk all about the glory days of WMMS. That was pretty much what we have on the front of the book. And can you give us a little tease, John? Well, I mean, you were so involved with the whole. I mean, you and the buzzard are kind of like inseparable.
I just look at it that we had a championship team, and I guess I was a pretty good coach.
And this
look
was
back on things.
And this was a hometown team, wasn't it?
Yeah, for the most part, a hometown team.
Talking about guys that you pretty much dragged out of Cleveland State University, and these were not seasoned radio pros, were they?
No, this was actually their first job in commercial radio, and you know, a few of them were there when I arrived. But the fact that we had to really draw from you know, college radio, specifically the Cleveland State station, is we didn't have the budget to hire anybody else.
This is back when WMMS was, how shall we say this tactfully, a mess?
It was a mess called MMS.
Yeah. And so you had to come and drag it out of the dregs of the basement, and we're gonna find out how John did all of this. I read the book, so I'm cheating, and it is a fascinating read. If you're a radio person or you're into the music of the era, and by the way, what era are we talking about here, John?
Primarily 1973 through 1986.
All right, so there you go. If you've been around 73 to 86, and I have a feeling most people listening now have been and were listening to MMS and the days of Murray Saul and Get Down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Murray was, I was telling John last week when we were chatting, Murray was actually a guest at this very radio station back in 1977. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and even more amazing, he turns 80 next year.
And he's alive and well.
Oh, he's alive and well and as crazy as ever.
Feisty as ever. All right. Well, more John Gorman, WMMS, and the whole story. Ed, you're going to hear the whole thing. By the way, if you want to follow along at home, gang, go to SundayOldiesJukebox.com on your website computers, and then click on the link, and it'll take you right to the great publishing site. You can see the sample chapter. I think we have a list of everything that goes on in the book, table of contents. Am I mistaken, John? Is that there too?
I believe it should be.
Yeah. So, but follow along.
I don't check my own website.
I should have. I gave my book to Mike Young, and so I had to pull one out of the prize box, so I didn't get caught off guard myself. Not like I'm going to be caught off guard today, but. All right, well, John Gorman with us today. It'll be a fun, snowy day. Hang in with us, gang. I want you to stick around with us on 88.9. 1966 is the year. Bob Dylan, the Sunday Oldies Jukebox, rolling along on a snowy Sunday. Guilty undertaker sighs. FM 88.9, 1967 is the year for White Rabbit and the Jefferson Airplane. John, what do they mean, feed your head? I don't understand this kind of thing.
You know, I never could figure that one out.
I don't know. It sounds like some kind of druggy reference to me, but what do I know?
Grace Slick, I doubt it.
So tell us about all the drugs that were going on back then.
Well, those were the years. You know, actually, the greatest influence upon MMS and really everyone at work there goes back to the music you're playing, and it goes back to the days of Top 40, when it was a great format and you could hear a wide variety of music. I mean, you'd hear everything from, you know, garage bands to the highly slick produced music that was being done by the Wrecking Crew, you know, backing all these great singers, and you know, then you had rhythm and blues, you had Motown. I mean, there was so much going on that one format. And that was definitely a big influence, you know, for WMS.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the music, in reading the book, I noticed that back then you were not afraid to play a lot of songs that the other stations wouldn't touch. Things like what we would play on the Sunday Oldies Jukebox now, some Motown and Oldies stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that was part of the history. And, you know, the audience that we had and the audience that we wanted to build upon, you know, were the ones that grew up in the 60s listening to Top 40 radio. And then, you know, as social changes started to happen, you know, the messages got a little longer and the albums got a little, the records became, instead of having small records with big holes, you had big records with small holes, and things started to develop that way. But still, you know, music is music, and you really want to have a wide variety. I mean, the average person is not limited in taste to one style of music.
Okay, let's talk about MMS for a second. John, how big back then was this station in its heyday, at its peak?
At its peak, it was really getting, I mean, close to 20% of the total audience in Cleveland. And when you looked at younger demographics, you know, I mean, it was getting 40 to 50%, which is pretty unheard of and pretty fascinating when, you know, when we look back at it.
You think we'll see those days again in terrestrial radio?
Well, see, I'm not ready to put the final nail in the coffin of terrestrial radio. It's definitely, you know, severely damaged by 10 years of mismanagement due to the telecommunications bill, where, you know, you have a handful of radio companies that own everything, and there's very few independent stations left. Good news, if you want to call it that, it's not necessarily good news for those that have stock in these companies, but these stations aren't able to service their debt. These companies are having a tremendous amount of problems, you know, managing that many radio stations. So we're starting to see cases where these companies are selling off. Instead of acquiring now, they're trying to get rid of stations.
The old buy high and sell low on a fire sale.
Exactly. And I believe that a fire sale is a very real possibility come the 1st of 2008. It reaches a point where if you can't run these stations and you can't service the debt and you've cut them down to basically, you have stations in the Cleveland market that are voice tracked for much of the day and pretty much all weekend.
Yeah, in case people don't realize, when you listen to the stations in Cleveland, most of the time, they're not there.
No, that's unfortunate. Radio should be a local medium. And, you know, people say, well, it's more efficient. You know, the companies will say it's a more efficient way of doing the business. Well, I hate to say it, but, you know, look at the time spent listening on radio has dropped severely. I think just in the past year alone, radio has lost 4 million listeners, terrestrial radio. I mean, and those that listen to radio, that still listen to terrestrial radio, are listening far less. And, you know, when you look at ratings today, there aren't any favorite radio stations.
Except,
you know,
ours.
People get, most of the listening today is probably done in the car. And people button push. It's not like you have a favorite radio station or you have a station that has, you know, a list of personalities that you enjoy. You know, there are still stations that have a great morning show. And the rest of the day, you know, you watch it. As soon as 10 o'clock hits, all of a sudden the ratings start plummeting.
You know, I have to thank the button pushing concept that helps us, because most of the time when I ask people, how did you find us at 88.9, they say, oh, just tuning around.
Yeah, that's... that's a case where people are in search of trying to find, programming that they like. And it's very difficult today where, you know, like I said, you have a handful of companies that are controlling pretty much every station on the dial, every commercial station. And, you know, you have a limited quality. And in many cases, the programming decisions are being made from corporate offices in, you know, either in New York or San Antonio. And they have no idea what the Cleveland musical tastes are. They have no idea what the Cleveland market wants, or the Akron market. And that's why radio listening is down so much these days.
And one of the things that made MMS successful was you were actually programming WMMS from the Statler in Cleveland.
Well, initially we were 50th and Euclid.
Okay, hold on now. We're getting ahead of her, because this is the tease, folks. I'm going to find out, and I'm sure you're wondering, who is this John Gorman guy? Where did he come from? What did he want? Why is he here in Cleveland? And what did he do? This is just the tease. We're going to find out more about John and how he made WMMS the number one station in all the world. Is that fair? Can I say that? Can I get away with that?
Well, it definitely was. It got a lot of attention for quite a few years.
Gary D always used to say, "I'm number one in all the world." So what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, I won't say it myself, but if you want to say it, go ahead. But I will say we were probably, you know, definitely one of the most influential radio stations in the country.
By the way, did you like the ID?
Which one?
The WMMS ID. Got to listen carefully. Did that in the segue.
Oh, I missed it.
Ah, yeah, well, we'll do one again for you.
Okay.
We're just going to string along here with Ricky Nelson. More with John Gorman on the Sunday Oldies Jukebox.
String along. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every night.
Notice how they started with Sunday. FM 88.9 Othercrest from 1959, six nights a week, like we say, one of those songs that you'll only hear here on the Sunday Oldies Jukebox. And before that, we heard from Fleetwood Mac, Landslide. The year was 1975, a year John Gorman's familiar with, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your cue, John. 75.
Yep, I definitely remember that year.
All right, so...
remember that song well, too.
Oh, you remember Landslide or The Crest, or both?
Well, actually, I remember both.
Okay.
But I remember everything you're playing. That's how, I keep going back that the influence of WMS and everybody there, you know, it was the glory days of Top 40 radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 50s and the 60s, it really... set the stage, and all we did was we applied the same formula to an album rock station in the 70s that Top 40 radio was back in the 50s and especially the 60s.
All right. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with John Gorman, who was the architect of WMMS in their heyday when they were number one in Cleveland. And Len Boom Boom Goldberg and Denny Sanders and all these guys who were the greats of WMMS, the duo in the morning, and Jeff and Flash, remember them. Anyhow, let's start at the beginning a little bit, as the book does, and kind of talk about who is this guy, John Gorman? Where do you come from? You don't sound like some kind of Cleveland guy, John.
No, I grew up in Boston.
Boston?
Yep.
And how did you end up in Cleveland?
Well, it was an interesting story. Denny Sanders and I had worked together in Boston. We met at a radio station in Boston back in the 1970. And we sort of made a pact back then. Whoever landed a job first would try to get the other one hired at the same station. But before that, we knocked on the doors of every single FM radio station in Boston, trying to pitch them with this format. And we get all those quizzical looks and said, well, you know, come back later, kids. We're not interested right now. And we had put together a complete proposal as far as, even doing the budgets and all that and how much it would cost to pull this thing off. But the stations didn't want to hear it. And, Denny was working part-time at a station in Boston. I heard that there was an opening at a station in Cleveland, WMMS, which had been doing syndicated programming for doing the Hit Parade format and it tried Top 40, and finally Metro Media saying we're going to give it another chance to be an album rock station. It was briefly an album rock station in 68, starting as WHK-FM. But to make a long story short, then he landed a job there. Metro Media sold the station to a company out of Mount Clemens, Michigan called Malrite, which relocated the corporate offices to Cleveland. And a number of the people who were with the station during the Metro Media ownership left. Denny stayed. Denny needed to hire a staff and put people together. And I just happened to call Denny the day he was going to call me. The next thing I knew, I was off to Cleveland.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
And the rest was probably one of the more bizarre histories in the radio industry.
Okay, so we got this Boston guy here, and Denny Sanders, to use the East Coast term, schlepped him here from Boston, and then exciting things started to happen at WMMS, and we're going to go into some of that after we hear a couple of more tunes. Let's go back to 1972. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. What the heck? I'm in charge. It's Simon and Garfunkel. It's America. It's the Sunday Oldies Jukebox.
must be love.
Of 88.9 Mr. Excitement, it's Jackie Walson. I'm Uncle Bill, and our guest these 2 hours, 4 and 5 o'clock, is Mr. John Gorman, who is the guy who made WMMS what it was. And hey, John, let me ask about something that a lot of people wondered about. Where'd this buzzard come from? And you're the guy responsible for this whole thing. And didn't you have some problems with management regarding that?
Well, they were wondering why a buzzard of all things, but I don't want to go into the it's a lengthy story, and
you'll have to read the book.
Yeah, I want everybody to go out there and read the book and get the entire story. But let me just say that it came upon a time when Cleveland was a dying city, and we were losing a lot of business. The city was sliding into default, and you know, what better character? I mean, what would you expect to see flying over Cleveland? Robins? You know, a buzzard was a fitting image.
And you found this Heaton artist guy who they weren't too thrilled with originally, but you fought for him, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I fought for him. I mean, the way we found David Helton, the artist, was he happened to send a letter to the station in the form of a comic strip at a time when we were looking for an artist to draw this buzzard. I had this little stick figure idea, and it was trying to find the artist that could take the stick figure and turn it into a real character. And that's how, you know, so much of what made WMMS happen just came about. And it was just seizing every opportunity. And, I think that's probably true in any successful business. And, definitely true today with the dot-coms, everything from the YouTubes and the MySpace. You know, these were crazy off-the-wall ideas, and people found other people with similar ideas. And, you know, when you have a creative environment, it attracts more and more creativity. And, that's really how that came about. We found David Helton turned out to be the perfect artist to take this crazy idea we had and put it into, an animated setting.
And he did a really great job. The Buzzard cartoon and the radio station and the whole promotion just melded together so beautifully. It was just a great piece of promotional orchestration.
And, it was a lot like, a combination of sports teams having a mascot, and also where you look at successful companies where, they have a symbol of some kind that actually, that you see that symbol and automatically you think of that radio, you think of that product. And we wanted to do the same with the radio stations, come up with something that people would look at this image and say, that's WMMS. And actually, the influence for that came from, it was another talk that Denny Sanders and I had. And we had just read a report that a bank in Boston, once again, you're familiar with Boston, the Charlotte National Bank had the most recognizable logo in Massachusetts. And it was it was an Indian bust, an Indian's face. And and it said, we really want to have something like the Shawmut Indian. Obviously not that Indian, obviously not Chief Wahoo, but we wanted to come up with something similar. And somebody would look at that symbol and say, that's MMS. And we were fortunate, very fortunate that it all came together the way it did.
Oh, it did it ever. A lot of the folks listening may be wondering, okay, I know of Jeff and Flash and Kid Leo and all the MMS cast, but this John Gorman guy, I kind of, sort of, maybe heard of him or never heard of him, and I don't think folks really appreciate that you were the guy orchestrating everything behind the scenes and the guy that really made the station what it was. And
there's a few people, and the important one of the main reasons for writing the book was to give the credit where credit is due, and I definitely had a championship team. I had the greatest. I mean, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, and I was fortunate to be surrounded by the best. But there are also a lot of other people who were behind the scenes that contributed to the station, and I wanted to make certain that they got the credit. David Helton's name is known, but not what's the history of how he came to the station is less known. There's other people who are mentioned throughout the book.
You mentioned them all too. They're all. That's one of the things I enjoyed about the book was that you did take us. You pulled the curtain, as it were, and you took us behind the scenes and introduced us to all of these other characters, including the engineers, which are the unsung heroes of broadcasting.
Oh, they're very much the unsung heroes, and they deserve it. And you know, we ended up having two of the best engineers in the business, and today they co-own a company called Telos, and they're the world's leading manufacturer of audio equipment for radio and TV stations.
And by the way, folks, you are now listening to the Sunday Oldies Jukebox on FM 88.9 through a device that is manufactured by Telos in Cleveland, Ohio. So there.
I mean, just everyone that passed through there. There were people that were part of the staff that probably weren't there for long because for whatever reason that the chemistry wasn't right. But for the most part, I mean, we had a staff both on air and off. It's just like you hear about, you know, the great sports teams. It's not only the players on the field, but it's the front office and it's all the behind the scenes people that make it happen.
You know, one of the things that kind of struck me and surprised me, John, in reading the book was how you were so candid in some of the things that you revealed. Did you get nervous about right when you were writing this and think, I don't know if I should tell this story or not?
I feel the stories that were told deserve to be told. I mean, there are certain stories, there are certain things that have happened over the years that I've forgotten about them and they'll never be known.
Yeah, no, I was reading the book going, I can't believe he's telling this story. Wow, this is really great stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, we will be giving away a couple of the books. We're getting close. We should do one this hour, and then we'll do one in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm wondering if the phone lines can handle. There was smoking this morning when we gave away the book. So we'll have to do that coming up soon. All right, John Gorman with us on the Sunday Oldies Jukebox, FM 88.9, where we play the songs that the other guys don't. Let's go back to 1962. Here's one you all know. It's from Shelley Fabre. The year 1964, British invasion year, and here's Billy J. Kramer, Bad to Me, as we celebrate 10 years of 50s, 60s oldies radio to Northeast Ohio, our Sunday Oldies Jukebox Legends of Northeast Ohio Radio series continues today. John Gorman with us this hour. And, back in the 70s and 80s, John built WMMS, as you've heard, from a neglected mess into a radio powerhouse. And if you were listening back then, lots of great stuff in his book, Juicy Details as the Buzzard Ruled the Airwaves. And just because we love our supporting members, I have a free copy of this hardcover Buzzard book for you. If you are the, let's make it the 10th member, in honor of our 10th anniversary, 10th member caller at 330-626-4906. 10th member caller. All supporting members eligible for this one, and you must be a paid-up Sunday Oldies Jukebox supporting member. If you don't know what that means, you're not one. And now's the time to give us the call and say, yeah, what number am I? And if you're number 10, you will win the Sunday Oldies Jukebox rolling
this
along.
This season, give your friends the gift that...
And no, we didn't want to roll with that. We wanted to roll with this. I'm learning, folks. 1965, it's Marvin Gaye, I'll Be Doggone, the Sunday Oldies Jukebox. FM 88.9, 1958. Whoops, don't go too quick. See, this is what happens when I put it on full auto. Don't do that, Uncle Bill. Okay, so on we go. Wow, the phone's melted down as I expected, and you know what, folks? If you didn't win this hour, we're going to do this again in the 5 o'clock hour or so. But anyhow, our winner, and we congratulate Scott from Bedford Heights, who was persistent, and you got to be persistent, won the Buzzard John Gorman new MMS book. And as I said, we're going to be doing another one next hour. Also, want to say hi to Denny from Northfield and Tom from... where was he? Where they make the cars, and I already forgot. Anyhow, nice to hear from everybody who melted down the phones. And actually, the phones did have a meltdown. I was actually, I had to go to manual pickup on this thing. I don't know what that means, but smoke was coming out of the phones. John, you have a popular book on your hands, I think.
That cheers me up.
I mean, you know, this is why I wanted John here in the studio, because he would have seen these phones going crazy today, and me going
crazy. Yeah, I wish I could have been there. It's, you know, if this weather cooperated a little better. But I would have loved to have seen those phones melt down.
Oh, it warmed my heart. Now I know what the guys in the morning and early afternoon go through when we give away this stuff, and I have a good appreciation for it. So that's good. Nice to see that our premiums are working for our supporting members. By the way, if you are wondering what to give your friends for Christmas and you just ran out of money, may I recommend you give them Music and Memories, commercial-free from the Sunday Oldies Jukebox. How's that for a self-serving promotional plug, John?
That's a good one. It's one that your audience should take heed in.
John did such an amazing job describing some of the promotional coups that he pulled off in the book. That that really is where I focused my attention. I'm going, okay, this is pretty cool. And without giving or pulling the curtain back on the whole thing, does one promotional coup kind of jump to mind that would be fun to briefly hit while we have folks on the edge of their chairs here?
No, it's very hard to pick just one.
It's
very hard to pick like a single favorite. You know, there were so many. Definitely you want to talk of making mailmen absolutely miserable. When we did the 10th anniversary at Springsteen, and, you know, we had people, you know, do the self-addressed stamped envelope routine, and we could only select so many, from those that entered. And the mail was just unbelievable. Every time we did a contest like that, where we would, we did the a concert with Jefferson Starship at Public Hall, and it was the same thing all over again, where the mailmen hated us. The phone companies hated us, too, for that matter. We used to blow up lines fairly frequently.
And this is a good thing if you're a radio station. We like to see these ones.
It's a great thing if you're a radio station, not as good if you work for the post office or the phone company. And in those days, those were the days when you had one phone company you had to deal with, and that was it.
One of the things that John talked about in the book was the concept of you're not going to work, you're going to war. And, that's kind of it, because really it was so competitive back then, unlike now where one or two companies own all the stations in the market, no one's competing against anybody, but you really went to war with some of these stations and drove them nuts.
Well, there's two parts to that story. One was growing up and hearing the competition when we were kids.